Clock and you had no clue where you were going, right? In our previous ministry, my wife and I worked with a youth group. We love teenagers. And we worked with the teens, and there were different times we would go on different trips. I remember one of the trips we took the teens to was downtown Milwaukee. Anybody ever been to Milwaukee? Okay, so this was downtown Milwaukee like in January. So it was nice and cold, and we went for a little walk. And we parked the church van in a parking ramp. And man, I was nervous. It wouldn't fit. It was a low park. I mean, we're just and it didn't hit anything. I was thankful for that. And we made it. And there was some ice sculpture going on different parts of downtown. There's this person had one here and that there. And I mean, so we're just kind of walking. And man, these teenage girls are just freezing. It's so cold up there. And they're like, I don't know. We're just going. I mean, and we finally said, okay, enough is enough. And we quit that walk for the night. But you know, sometimes when we go for walks, it's nice to know where we're going and have a destination. Maybe you've gone on a hike somewhere and you knew there was this beautiful waterfall, something going on with all of that. And yet the trail was not marked very clearly. And it's like, okay, so where am I going? How am I going to get there? I think that was the color. Was that the color on that tree that they marked that with a tree? I think that's the trail. You know, you go that. Anybody ever been there on a trail like that? I mean, it's like, whoa, where am I going? You know, as we go through life, we don't have to wonder, where am I going? We don't always know where we're going. Life is kind of like a patchwork quilt. We don't see the big picture. God knows the big picture. We don't always see it. But the exciting thing is that God wants us to know. And God will continue to lead us through life as we trust Him. Our theme is we grow together this year as a church family. We don't know what's going to happen in July. I mean, we know what's going to happen in April, Easter, right? I mean, we know we're going to have Easter in April. I mean, we know some things that are going to happen, but we don't know everything that's going to happen. As we go through life this year, we don't know what's going to happen in our own families. Oh, we were talking about this yesterday, and as our family, and just the many different places God has brought us from and through over the last 2.5 years that I would not have had a clue. Man, I thought I'd be in Los Angeles in January. And man, we're back in the snow in Michigan and loving it. I love snow. And so we're just thankful for that. But we don't always know exactly where we're going to be or the next step of life. Man, where am I supposed to go to college? What does God want me to do? Who's God going to have me marry? What about my job? Man, I'm struggling with that. I mean, I don't know how much longer I can actually work here. Ever been to that? I mean, just, man, you know, the stresses of this situation. How am I going to leave? What's going to go on? As we go through the transitions of life, God has a plan for us. And aren't you thankful for that? And God always promises to lead us in a clean and a clear and a plain path. He knows what He has. He knows how He wants to lead us. We have to listen to His leading and listen to His guidance. You drive with a GPS. Right? And you're, okay, so I'm going to get there, and it tells you to turn right, and it's a one-way street going left. Sometimes GPS, and you don't go. It's like, okay, and so it's going to say rerouting, right? And it turns you from here to there and turns you around and what you got to do. But the exciting thing is, man, God wants to lead us through life just as clear, in fact, I believe even clearer than a GPS. God wants to lead us through life in the trail of that hike that you took, and man, is that really the path? And God wants to lead us very clearly, but we have to listen and be willing to yield to Him and His plan for our lives. Before we get into our study this morning, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love. God, what a blessing that You want to speak to us through Your Word. God, we have worshipped You in song this morning as we've sung and as we've greeted each other. And God, man, our hearts are that we would worship You through the preaching of Your Word, that our hearts would be tender. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Anybody this morning, just say, if God speaks to me, I am willing to obey. Just with an uplifted hand, I'm going to pray for you. If God speaks to me this morning, I will obey. Amen. Amen. Trust that's Your commitment. Father, we thank You for Your love. God, You know the hands that have been raised, that they've committed, that they will obey what You speak and challenge them in their lives. God, I pray that we would all be willing to yield to You. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. As you and I go through life, and as we are determining what is the next step that God wants me to take, number one, we must gather knowledge. We must gather knowledge. That's what Joshua is preparing to do. God led them to this land flowing with milk and honey. I mean, God promised it for centuries, and we see that. And then they were in bondage in Egypt, and God brought them out of that bondage through Moses and led them through the wilderness 40 years. And as they continued on, God had a plan for them. God had a place for them. But as Joshua knew all of that, he was gathering knowledge to determine what is God's next step for us. We might know the distance, but it's the steps to get us there. That trail that you're going on to go see that waterfall or whatever, you may know it's at the end, but it takes the steps to get there. And as we go through life, as we determine, okay, I believe this is what God has for me in my life. I knew when I was a teenager that God had called me to be a pastor. There's no doubt in my mind. I knew what God had done in my heart and in my life. I trusted Christ as Savior when I was 4.5 years old. And man, I remember when God was just working in my heart about obeying Him and getting baptized. And I remember sitting back there about where Don is and sitting back there and just at the end of the service and the invitation. And I tugged on my mom, Mom, is this where I go forward if I want to get baptized? And I remember that. But I remember then through that, man, I lived in Iowa at the time. And I either wanted to be a or a missionary or a pastor. And the farmer quickly died. And I knew that God wanted me to be a pastor. And I was just so convinced of that in my heart from a young man. So here, you know, I was 13 and I knew God wanted me to be a pastor someday. So does that mean that I was ready to go be a pastor? No, I had a lot of steps to take in between. And what is the next step? And even when it came to, okay, growing as a teenager and doing my devotions, reading the Bible, we expect our teens to do it. We need to do it too and lead in that. And going through that aspect, where did God want me to go to Bible college? Well, I'm just going to go there because I feel like it. No, God's got a specific plan. Who did God want me to marry? I am convinced, and as I was before I got married, that there was only one young lady that God wanted me to get married to. Now, there are many godly ladies, but there was only one that God had for me. And I am thankful for Karen, and I'm just thankful that God brought us together. But again, it's determining what is God's next step for my life. Number one, I've got to gather knowledge. That's what Joshua did. In verse 1, it says, And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to what? What were they to do? Spy. Two men to spy. As we gather knowledge, we're reminded we must make informed decisions. We don't just live by feelings. Rather, let me clarify that we shouldn't just live by feelings. Now, whether this is a personal testimony or whether you've seen it in someone else's life, have you ever seen someone who just lives by their feelings? Yeah. It's a scary thing. Whether it's their anger that comes through or whether it's whatever other emotions just pour out and that's how they live. Well, see, Joshua, as he's going through this, he's not saying, okay, God's called us, we're just going to go and do it. No, he's making an informed decision as he does this. He didn't just rush into this decision. And some decisions we can rush into. You know, you're at the line at the gas station and man, you needed a candy. You got to have that candy bar to keep you going the rest of the day, right? And it's like, okay, that's the one. You can rush into that decision, right? I mean, you know, okay, I don't like that one. I'm not going to get that. I mean, some decisions are easy, quick. But other decisions take time. How about the decision our church family went through? And then my family went through as we were seeking, who did God have to pastor here after Pastor Bob? And what did God have for our family? I mean, for the church family and for our lives, man, this was like a 2.5-year process on both ends. But who did it? God. And He had a step every one of the way. And He had a plan. And He was going to lead when the church family was ready and when the Swearinger family was ready. And as we go through life, that's how God leads. It may take longer than we ever thought or hoped. It may not turn out the way we thought it was going to. But God has a plan, and we can't rush into the next decision. We can't make hasty decisions. But what we do is we take that time to make informed decisions. Joshua sent out men to spy. So what's going on? How are these people feeling? I mean, he finds out their feelings. Granted, we don't make decisions based on feelings. But God made us emotional beings, didn't He? feelings do matter. And so gathering information, he decided not based on emotions of us or, man, they're just scared so we're going to go do it or whatever it is, but learning about the next direction you believe God wants to go. A real big situation in our life right now. We're thankful our house sold in Muskegon. But we have to live somewhere. So do we just go out on realtor.com and spin through the thing and say, okay, here's the 8-mile radius of the church we're praying we can live within, and boom, that's the house. No. But sometimes that's how... You ever use that food app on the phone? They call it the food spinner or whatever. I mean, okay, I've got this, and I want that, and it's going to take me this time, and then you hit spin, and it'll tell you what to make? I mean, it's interesting what you can find on there. Sometimes that's how we make decisions in life. I know this. I don't want this. I like that. Boom. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. But God wants us to make informed decisions in life. So even with this house situation is our family. So we looked online, and we've looked online, and we've looked online. And we prayed. We got a realtor, and we visited some houses. Now, we still haven't put an offer on a house. Our realtor back in Muskegon just challenged us to wait till a little bit more of the selling process has gone through on our house so that we'll have the down payment money and everything we need when time comes. But as we're doing this, we're gathering information. I talked with Phil Tanner about it because he knows something about houses. Right? I mean, there are people who are smarter than us that God has given brains, and we need to seek advice. Right? I mean, we all have brains. That came out kind of wrong there. Okay. But there are people that God wants to use in our lives that know more than we do spiritually. That know more than we do practically. Man, I don't know everything about a house. I don't. Man, sometimes I wonder how much I know. And you know, you learn these but God puts different people in our lives. That's what Joshua is doing. He's gathering knowledge, not by himself. He's the leader. He sends out men and says, okay, you go tell us, what is God doing there? How is God preparing? What is going on? And so he does. And they go out. He wants to make an informed decision by seeking advice from others. Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, the very first person's advice that we should even seek is God's. God has a plan for our lives. He has a plan for your life that he wants you to do your next step. Whether you're 8, 18, or 80. You know, sometimes we should think, well, it's just for these young kids because, man, when you're like in your 16 to 20s, man, those are some of the biggest life-changing decisions, and they are. But for the rest of us, God has a plan for our lives in February. And God has a plan for our church family throughout this year. But how are we going to do it? We seek him. And we gather information and the knowledge that we need. Okay, so is this something wise that we can do? Is this something that we should take part of? Maybe we should, this isn't the time. Maybe this isn't the way. Maybe there's another way we can deal with this. Wow, maybe, man, this job opportunity came up. Maybe that's not the one that God wants me to take. God leads us in so many different decisions, and I don't know what decisions that you're going to have to make this month, this week. But before you make that decision, would you gather that knowledge? Maybe it's advice from others. Hopefully first, your spouse, if you're married, too. Don't make decisions like that without seeking advice from your spouse. God has given you a husband or a wife for a reason. The wife is a helpmeet to the husband. So we said God, seeking advice from him, but seeking advice from others. That's what Joshua does. And throughout the book of Joshua, he prays, or if he fails to pray, man, there are consequences. And we're going to see that. But he was seeking advice from these men who he went to send out to spy. So they're spies, which means they were supposed to be secret, which verse 1 says. But were they secret? Were they a secret? According to this passage, no, they weren't. Somehow the king knew. Somehow someone said, there's men that came in to spy out. So as much as Joshua sent to seek their advice, and they sure did learn and God used them, it wasn't always a secret. The king knew. But God could still use it and use that knowledge. So as you and I make decisions in life this week, And as you determine God's will for your life, gather knowledge. Gather knowledge. Number two, demonstrate trust. Joshua sent these men to gather knowledge. But knowledge doesn't change life. Now, it affects life. In fact, we're reminded from the Word of God that knowledge does what? It puffeth up. If we live life based just upon knowledge, man, I've got so much knowledge, my head could get... I mean, you've seen people like... They can win any Trivial Pursuit game. It doesn't matter what the question is. It's like, that person knows the answer. I mean, it was good. I remember we were working with young adults, and we had a young adult activity, and it was some trivia question. So we said, hey, we're going to phone a friend. And it was one of the other young adults who wasn't able to be there. We called him, and within like 2 seconds, he gave the answer. And like, where did that come from? I mean, you know, that just random facts in people's brains. Facts in and of themselves don't make positive change in life. But as we gather that knowledge, and then as we determine and demonstrate that I will trust God with the knowledge He's given me, even when I don't always understand, even when my feelings say, is this quite right? But I must live based upon what God does in my life, not just my fears of life. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, gathering that knowledge. God has given all of us a brain that we can gather knowledge and make wise, informed decisions. Whether it's the next refrigerator or microwave or stove or appliance of some sort that I need to buy, whether it's the next vehicle that God wants me to purchase, or whether it's life-changing as an occupational or who I'm going to marry. God has a plan, and as I gather that knowledge, I must demonstrate trust. It's interesting that gathering knowledge and demonstrating trust often go hand in hand. Because as I gather knowledge, again, I think of our whole transition process here, from my perspective and our family's perspective, and the hours I spent with Pastor Bob on the telephone, as much as he struggled to hear me at times. And I've got a new phone, so we're excited about that, and hopefully you can hear me when I talk to you now. But the hours we would spend talking, and as I gathered knowledge and information, do you think I still knew everything about Jeruel Baptist Church? Hey, I learned we have a shredder this week. Right? Last week was a copier. This week I learned we have a shredder. I mean, I'm just learning stuff. I'm learning your names. I mean, but as I gathered knowledge, and as Karen and I gathered knowledge, we had to demonstrate trust in God. God, we see what you've done. I mean, we look back to June when God brought the Segurados to our previous ministry in Muskegon, and how He used the Segurados from Spain, who were here on a furlough trip, to connect us together. Only God did that. And it's incredible to watch. But we had to demonstrate trust every step we were taking of gathering knowledge and gathering more knowledge. Our first time we came in August. And when we came back in September and then in October. And I mean, man, it was a long process. Anybody else think it was a long process? But you know, it's very interesting. Your long process for that was really a prayer request on our part that God answered. We did not want God to lead us in some rushed decision. I have seen young men who make rushed decisions for even ministry and in certain church situations, or maybe that's for someone, maybe that's not, and it struggles. And so we were praying, God, would you make it just kind of a slow process? I didn't think it would take that slow. But it's just incredible because God has a plain, clear path for our lives. And as we demonstrate trust, even in the timing when it doesn't make sense, He will be glorified. And that's what's going on with the children of Israel. As they're about to enter this promised land, Joshua is gathering this knowledge, and he's saying, we trust God. These spies, that's what they had to do. Trust God when you don't understand, when there's nothing more you can do. Remember verse 3, the king of Jericho said unto Rahab, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to the Jordan under the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them, were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto them, and she's talking to them. Now it's very interesting. Did Rahab tell the truth? So that means we don't always have to tell the truth. Right? There are times it's okay to lie. Is that what that's saying? Never. It is never right to do wrong, to do right, as Bob Jones Sr. once said. It's not. You know, in our minds, we can justify certain actions and behavior because, man, this is going to be the best for the end. But it isn't right to lie. Just because Rahab lied here and God used that didn't mean God blessed her lie. And it doesn't mean that God is saying it's okay to lie when things get difficult to try to cover it up, because I find it very interesting. Joshua, in the wording that God used in verse 1, Joshua sent two men to what? Spy secretly. The king found out they were in the city. And when they were in the city, he didn't wonder where to go. Whether people watched or however it was, they went to Rahab's house. And couldn't they have said, I mean, we're searching your house anyway? God allowed. And she chose to sin with her lie. But God still protected these men. It's not right to do wrong in our decisions. Man, I wanted to make this decision for God. I'm gonna do a little bit here, cheat on this corner, or do this so that I can get this better. No, God will bless obedience. And here these men are demonstrating trust. They didn't lie. Rahab chose to. They didn't tell her to lie. They're hiding. And so here they're hiding, and they're trusting God. Man, they didn't know what to do. They did. Man, our lives are at stake. We were sent secretly to spy, and we found out, and they trusted God to protect them. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. As we go through life and gather that knowledge, we must demonstrate trust. God, I trust you. I know you've got a plan, and I will trust you. Trust God when there's nothing more you can do. I don't know what else to do. I don't like my wife being sick. I don't enjoy that. Man, I hurt for her. I wish I could do more, and you know, I enjoy helping out with the kids and what I can, but I cannot make Karen get better. We have to trust God for that. And you know, there have been some different sicknesses over the last few years that she's just battled with. And it's like, sometimes we'll talk, it just doesn't make sense. But God knows, and we can trust God. You know, just so many things of life. And you can look at your own life and say, it doesn't make sense. Why, God? Why did you allow this death to happen? Why, God? Why this job loss? What's going on? But we can trust God in the midst of these times. When life doesn't make sense. And that's where these men are. Here they were sent secretly to spy and they were found out. But they're trusting God. Because God promised this land. Whether they were going to live or die, God knew. Think of anybody else in the Old Testament like that? How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Right? I mean, here they are, and they're trying to live for God as they've been stolen away out of their land. They were told, you bow down or else. The men who threw them into the fire were killed because of the heat of the fire. As Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked around. Wow. They didn't understand all that. And yet, what was their commitment? God can rescue us, but if he doesn't, we will serve him. And we will trust him. And that's how it's got to be as we make decisions in life. Some things just don't always make human sense. But as we step back and as we look at how God has led and what his word says in the way he's continuing to lead and the people he put in our lives, we can see how he clearly leads. Now again, as God leads, he never leads us to do something that the word of God tells us not to do. Again, we've talked about that, our memory verse, that the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? So that we can observe to do all that's written therein. God's not going to lead us to do something his word says not to do. Sometimes people will say, oh, God led me to do this, man, based on this situation and this feeling and this situation. No, wait a second. We've got to go back to what God's word says. And that's where the priority was beginning last week as we were talking Joshua 1. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. The word of God says, thou shalt not lie. We can't lie. You know, it's the word of God, so we're going to trust God as we go through this and as we grow into this new land together as the nation of Israel. They're demonstrating trust. Trust God when they didn't understand. We can trust God, trust others that God allows into our lives. I mean, really, their lives were at the mercy of Rahab. How did God lead them to her? I don't know. The other men, the soldiers who came to look for them, but God allowed them, and they just said, okay, we have to trust you, God. Again, seeking advice of others. Joshua was trusting these men to come back with an accurate picture and with the truth so they could make a wise, informed decision as a nation. Abraham, remember he sent out his servant to find a wife for his son? Talk about trusting someone else. Right? Teenager, kid, you want your parents to find your spouse for you someday, don't you? Right? Man, that's just it. Wow. No. I can't trust him to make that decision. Man, I might not love that person. But did you know God already knows who that's going to be? And who he wants for you? And you can trust God because his best? And if we can tell our kids that they can trust God for the spouse, we sure can trust God for the everyday decisions that we have to make. Gather that knowledge. Demonstrate trust in God. Trust the information that God has revealed. And that's what they're doing here and what Joshua is going to do. A Long Island businessman in the 1930s bought an expensive brass barometer. Right? A barometer doesn't tell us temperature. It tells us the heaviness of the air and gives us some weather ideas and whatnot. He bought an expensive brass barometer to mount in his home. However, when the man pulled the instrument out of the box and started to hang it, the arrow that indicated current weather conditions was pointing hard to hurricane. Angrily, he pounded his palm on the glass face of the barometer, but it wouldn't move. I mean, it just was stuck there. He shook it and then banged it on the table, and it wasn't moving. It obviously was defective. It was just not spinning right, working right. So the next morning, he fired off a nasty letter to the manufacturer and dropped it in a mailbox on his way to work in Manhattan. But sure enough, a storm did roar through Long Island that day, and when he drove home in the afternoon, his house was destroyed in a hurricane. Sometimes, that isn't it! Our emotions, our feelings can get in the way. That piece of knowledge, that's not true. But we got to go back and say, God, help me to gather knowledge that I need to, and help me to demonstrate trust that I will make decisions based upon that knowledge. We're going to talk more about knowledge in the service tonight, that we can know God. We're going to starting our study in 1 John. But if we can't trust that we can know God, how can we ever trust that we can follow God through the decisions of life? If God can't take us to heaven, if he can take us to heaven, can't he take us through the next refrigerator purchase? God doesn't have time for that. Of course he does. It doesn't matter what the next step of your life is. God wants to lead you through it. And we've got to gather knowledge. We've got to then demonstrate that trust. But number three, we must follow God. Children of Israel, here these men were there. They were hidden on Rahab's roof. Verse 8, and before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord, Jehovah, the self-existent one, hath given you the, what? Land. They knew that. Now remember, children of Israel are on the other side of the Jordan River at this time. Jordan River is in flood season. Powerful water flowing down. She says, I know the Lord has given you this land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there return any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. If someone who, what we would classify was as an unsaved person, could grasp that the true God of heaven was leading and directing them, and God had a plan for them, can't we who know Jesus Christ as Savior trust him enough to help lead us through the next decisions of life? Hey, man, he knows it. He knows what's best, even when it's hard. life isn't always easy. In fact, Jesus didn't promise a life of ease. What did he promise? Tribulation. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We're reminded at the end of the book of Matthew as he's telling us to go and to preach, sharing the gospel, teaching, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. What? He says, and lo, I am with you always. As we go through life, whether it's sharing the gospel or making decisions or whatever we're doing in life, we have hope that Christ is with us if we know Jesus is Savior. We can gather knowledge. We can trust God. We can then choose to follow God by believing the information you've received. Here she goes on and she's saying, hey, God has done this. We've seen it. Man, our people are scared. It's feelings, right? And so feelings do play into life. Verse 12, now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord. See, again, she is going back constantly about God, 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 God. And it's very interesting, we see years later who is in the lineage of Christ. Rahab. She demonstrated faith in God. And we must demonstrate that same trust and faith in God and follow him, even through the difficulties of life. She says, verse 12, now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterwards ye may go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Talk about faith. Couldn't that scarlet line be seen by someone else? Did you let those spies out your window? We're going to kill you. Could have. She demonstrated faith. She followed what they were told. I find it very interesting thinking about that, though. For those of you who are familiar with the first few chapters of the book of Joshua, or at least the song, Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho, right? And the walls came what? Now, where was Rahab's house? So you go to blow something up. Now, granted, they weren't blowing this up. In fact, at this point, I don't think they even knew how they were getting into the city. But if you go to blow up a building and you say, okay, if you stand in this window, you won't get hurt. We can't promise that because we don't know anything like that. I find it very interesting. These men had to be spirit-filled or knowing God and walking with God because they can't just make some promise because this is not in their own strength to keep. But God had a step. And they gathered knowledge. They went. They demonstrated faith. They followed God. And they're telling her, you can follow God too. And she did. Wow. Believe the information you received. The spies believed this information that the people of the land were afraid. What's going to happen? So they returned. They went up into the mountains, verse 22, and they hid there. And it says, until they abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the land, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly who? The Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Do you remember another time in the nation of Israel when they were spies sent to determine what was the land like and can we take this or not? Right? 12 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. Right? I mean, some of you know that song. And because they led the children of Israel astray because they didn't follow God. Here, these two men that were spent after 40 years of wandering, and these two men that were sent secretly said, God has led the way. God has prepared their hearts. They're afraid because God is in control. They're afraid of what God could do. They believed the report. Joshua believed. They believed the information that God had given. As you follow God, believe what you've heard and learned. Believe that God has led. It finally comes a point when you have to make a decision. This job interview, man, it went well, but do I say yes or no? This young person, I believe God has led me to him or to her and to get married. But there's a point of decision, which hopefully comes before you're standing at the altar saying, I do. But it comes to the point where I have to make a decision. Based on the knowledge that I've gathered, the trust that I've been demonstrating in God, I will follow God and obey. I don't know what decisions you have to make this week. You may not even right now. Or maybe you do. Maybe you know some big decisions in your life. I mean, for our family, we know there's a house God wants us to have, but again, we have to wait for the house God wants us to have. I don't want to just put some bid on some offer on any old house. God's got a plan for my family. He's got a plan for your family. So what are you going to do? How are you going to trust? Not going to be easy. Not always the easiest thing. But as you gather that knowledge, and as you continue to demonstrate trust, would you take that next step of obedience? But you know, you can't follow God if you don't know Jesus as Savior. That is the very first, most important decision you can ever make. That is the first way you can follow God. By realizing, I am a sinner. Jesus had to die on the cross for my sins. There is nothing I can do in life to make me right with God. So how am I going to live? What am I going to do? I deserve hell. All of us do. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, He's offering you the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you accept Him today and the forgiveness He has to offer you? And if you know Jesus as Savior and as you commit to making decisions in life, would you commit, God, I will not make hasty decisions. I will gather information. I will demonstrate trust and I will follow You and not my heart. I will follow You and how You lead and not what I want. But it's incredible as we yield our desires to Him, He will change our desires into what He wants us to have, and we will want that too. His way is perfect. His way is best. Father, we thank You for Your love. Thank You for each one in this room here today. God, we all have decisions to make. Some are easier than others. Maybe some have to decide yet what they're going to eat for lunch. But maybe some in here have big life-changing decisions they have to choose to trust You in. Maybe some changes just happen and they still have to trust and follow and obey. So God, I pray that You'd work in all of our hearts and help us to see You work. Help us to watch You lead and step out in obedience.